First Baptist Church of Redmond, August 28, 2016. Opened by joy.
Okay, folks, if y'all please rise, we're going to read Psalm 150 responsibly. Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Praise Him for His mighty acts.
Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet.
Praise Him with the lute and the harp.
Praise Him with the timbrel and dance.
Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals.
Praise Him with clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated.
Doesn't that sound like the daycare verse? Yeah. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Doesn't that sound exciting? Yeah. Our psalm here is going to be very, very descriptive in the things that it says. When we look at this, I want to give you the perspective I have on the psalm immediately. Opened by joy, if I can say it that way. Opened by joy is what we're looking at. There we go. I want you to notice there's a little heart-shaped image of words from different languages that all mean mother. Now, what do you notice about most of these words? They oftentimes will start with M. Now, the same thing with the dad, because we have father, and the fa sound or the da sound is often a component of the name for father or dad around the world. That's interesting to me that so many words for mother start with M. People have guessed about that. I have no idea. I just read the guess that, oh, maybe that's easier for kids to say that. I don't know. But it's interesting to me that that M or that ma kind of sound is so prevalent around the world. Kids like mom, kids think about mom, whatever your thoughts are of mom, this is what it comes back to. Oh, people like babies. Even older guys who haven't shaved for a few days and wear a greasy t-shirt have been known to want to take and hold a baby for a few minutes. Sometimes if you want to meet friends and influence people, just bring a baby to a room and sit down if you're a lady. And pretty soon it's like a pass-around event. Oh, can I hold the baby? Can I hold the baby next? Because babies are fun to hold. Babies are babies. And there's lots of things that go in with that. And then sometime there'll be a season, if it hasn't hit you yet, it will, where you'll just have this urge to hold, to grab, to be with a little tiny child. Psalms 146 to 150, the last section of our book of Psalms, was commonly called the Hallelujah Psalms. So the Hallelujah, that's a Hebrew word, comes into English, just means praise God, praise Jehovah, praise the Lord, is how we're looking at that. And each one of these final five, if we can talk about the final five, have a little spin, slightly different, on praising God. Psalm 146, praising God throughout life. Psalm 147, praise God because it's good for us. Psalm 148, praise God with all of creation, everything that breathes. Psalm 149, we saw last week, the stress was on joyfulness. This week, Psalm 150, by everything, with everything, in everything, everything is the key thought, is the key point here. The idea is praise. Psalm 150, the word praise occurs 13 times in these six little verses. We read a whole psalm this morning. If you sat down, you could remember half the psalm. If you said, praise the Lord, you've done half the psalm. That's the stress of this psalm. It's just very simple, very basic. And it talks about with, because it'll be with timbrel, with dance, with stringed instruments, with cymbals, or with the sound of the trumpet. This is stressing for us how are the some of the different ways that people can praise God. When we look at this psalm, as I was reading and studying, some people asked this question. What is Psalm 150 about? And people would write, how do we give God adequate praise? And that's how they were trying to explain the numerous times praise was mentioned, that you praised God, you know, with different things. But for me, this is a good question, but this is the wrong question to close off this psalm with. When we look at Psalm 150, remember the book of Psalms was intentionally divided by the people who put it together into five sections. Some people will say, very likely true, that it was intended to correspond with the five books of Moses. Each of those sections ended up with a brief moment of praise, a brief hallelujah at the end of each of those sections. These last five Psalms, I think, are intended not just to close the fifth book, but also to close the entire book of Psalms. And here, to close the book, is this final Psalm. The point for this is the wrong thing to ask, because it is a question. When we look at these Psalms, we can see that there's some things that are discussed, some things that are talked about, but this Psalm is not a lot of things. As we've looked at previous Psalms, we've had some Psalms that were described as a maskil, or a contemplative, or a teaching kind of Psalm, where the song was sung to teach someone something. You know the alphabet song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so you can learn the alphabet. There are some other songs you sing. The kids would sing the books of the Bible, and I don't even remember how that song goes, so we're not going to try it. But they sing that so that they would learn the books of the Bible. So those are teaching songs. A lot of our psalms were teaching songs, but these last several psalms have not been that at all. Because the point of these psalms, if you remember, is to just stop and reflect and give God praise and thanks, because we do not do that, A, enough with each other. We don't give enough people praise and thanks for what they do to begin with. And for certain, we don't give God enough praise and thanks for what he has done for us. And this is a first world Christian question. How do we give God adequate praise? Because this is something that we sit down and we would ponder, because we know Christ, because we are in his church, because God has kept us safe, because we live in a culture that has some marks of Christianity in it. But this is not a psalm about this type of question. This is a psalm that is all about expressing praise and honor and glory to God without a whole lot, forgive me, of thought. There's sometimes you want to sit and think. For me, every time I encounter a roundabout, I think, I wish there was a light here, because it would either be green or red. There might be an arrow and I know what to do next. But if there's a roundabout, I have to think, A, you know, sometimes I get lost because what do? I get in the wrong lane. And I meant to go around the thing, but oh no, I'm in the turn lane. So now I have to get off. I have to come back. I have to go around the roundabout again. Or you kind of get lost and you get in the middle lane. And what do? So maybe you have to take a lap or two and see where you get off. So roundabouts to me are supposed to be easy, but for me, that's not how my mind works. So I get confused in a roundabout. It's a difficult question I have to answer. I just want something to tell me what to do. And these psalms, particularly these last psalms, particularly this Psalm 150, is just a venue for me to give God praise and thanks. And some of the times I need that, we need that, because we like to think we go back and forth between these two things, optimism and pessimism. But for us, in Western culture, in American culture, and where we live here, we live in a very cynical, pessimistic part of the world and in society. Remember, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. And if there's anybody who should be an optimist, it should be a Christian. Let me use this story. This is the best picture I could get. You'll get it as we go by. It's trying to illustrate what I'm trying to say. Once upon a time, there were two farmers. One was a pessimist, one was an optimist. The optimist would say, "Oh, wonderful sunshine day." The pessimist would respond, "Oh, it's going to scorch our crops." The optimist would say, "Ah, fine, it's raining." The pessimist would say, "Oh, I'm afraid it may turn into a flood." One day, the optimist said to the pessimist, thinking of Conrad when I tell the stories, he's not hunting but going with people who are hunting, "Have you seen my new bird dog? He's really something." The pessimist said, "You mean that mutt penned up over there behind your house? He don't look like much to me." The opposite said, "Let's go try it. Let's go hunting." So they went out. They brought their shotguns and they shot some ducks. The ducks landed on the pond. The optimist ordered his dog, go fetch those ducks." The dog obediently responded, but instead of swimming after the ducks, the dog walked on top of the water, retrieved the ducks, and walked back on top of the water. The optimist was beaming as he said to the pessimist, "Now what do you think of that?" The pessimist replied, "You know what? Can't swim, can he?" For us, in life, we need to give God praise. Praise and honor. Because something that mars us as we become educated, as we look at the future, as we're influenced by realism, is pretty soon we give a mechanical explanation to everything, and we realize that the world might go by just fine without any help from us or God. The sun's going to come up, the stars are going to shine, the seasons are going to change. Maybe there'll be some bad weather, but the day's going to end. We have another day the next day, and pretty soon everything gets mechanical. And sometimes our faith in God, it's mechanical. We trusted Christ. We did some things in the past, but, you know, my life isn't really much any better, so I don't really need to pray that much this morning. I used to read my Bible. I don't really worry about reading my Bible every day. And God knows that I'm a sinful person, so I really shouldn't sit down and struggle and think about these kind of things. If I have a few little extra things, well, so what? God doesn't care, because otherwise other people have done a whole lot worse things. And pretty soon, our relationship with God becomes a little stale. And because it doesn't feel fresh, we think, well, you know what, I've tried some other things and they didn't work. Well, maybe believed in God, but maybe I should try a little something else. And all these kinds of thoughts can be stopped. All these kinds of distances can be closed. And a God that seems distant or cold or uncommunicative can be found by simply stopping, reflecting, and not thinking too much, but giving God praise. Because that's how this book is going to end. Remember, this is the book of praises, the book of songs, and Israel's songbook. It was instructive. It was testimonial. But the whole point of this is to give God honor and praise, because it's good for us to give him praise. It changes us, gives us a better perspective. If anybody should be an optimist, it should be a believer, because no matter what happens, you know that God is coming back to change the world, to change you, and to take you with him. That God is working and is interested in your life. That God's Holy Spirit is in you and other believers, so that you can rub on off on each other, so that God's hand can be seen in somebody else and you can be God's hand in somebody else's life. Somehow, somewhere, someday, God's going to be honored and praised. And oh, why not today? Why not now? Why don't I give him thanks now for the things that we have done? And this psalm is just very simple in its stress. Notice how, other than the last verse, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise the Lord. That's what this psalm is about. Not a lot of explanation, not a lot of instruction, just a lot of experience. We need to be people who are thankful and sing his praises. We'll note some details in this, but we don't stress too much on the details, because that misses the point. We're going to look at a couple of things here in this psalm. Three little things, and then some other little notes at the end. Praising God. Praise God where he can hear us. Can God hear you now? I'm just tempted for that commercial. Do you hear me now? And the point is, God can hear you now. So just as you might change, you ever talked about something or someone and all of a sudden they come around the corner or you don't see them behind you and you think, ah! That's because we generally don't say praiseful things all the time, do we? So imagine, yes, God is there now. God is watching you now. God is with you now. If you trust Christ as your Savior, God is indwelling you now. The Holy Spirit is in your mind and soul right now. And the Father is watching over you with his guidance and direction right now. So God is where he can hear you now. In your psalm there, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. That's an interesting comment. It really says, praise God in his holiness. I think the sanctuary is the right translation for this, though, because the idea is picturing God where he gets what he deserves. Sometimes you'll see someone win something and or get an achievement, and they'll say, how did you do it? And sometimes they will say, it was a lot of hard work, and my hard work has paid off by showing that I deserve this reward. God is different than the rest of us because God deserves praise, honor, and thanks just because he is. You hate when people are like that. Oh, here they come, prima donna. Here they come, God's gift to the world. Here they come, because they just expect everybody to notice, to praise, to thanks, to give recognition. They expect all their words to be important. And terrible trait for humans, but that's the right way to look at God. Because God is the creator. He is the planner. He is the sustainer. He is the one who made a way out for us. He is the one who has chances to give us renewal. He's the one who created you and gave you life and gave you breath. And the one who gave us life and gave us breath deserves for us to put our lives in tune, to give breath to words of praise to him. So God sits in a, if you will, pillow of holiness, where divine creatures are around him singing holy, 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 where he listens and can hear us give him praise and thanks. So God is in a special place where he is praised. It includes heaven for sure. And if we take the time to give God the praise and honor that he deserves, then some places on earth touch on this. In our Sunday school class, we're talking about some things this morning about God and how he's treated. And I referred to a quote we saw Wednesday night. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at recently some video presentations of Rabbi Zacharias talking about apologies, talking about honoring God, talking about putting God first. The goal of apologetics is to make the cross more visible so that we don't rationally or fictitiously put things in the way of being able to see Jesus very plainly. And he talked about some ways that people try to conduct church. And he says, if you gather several hundred people who do not individually praise God, when you gather them together and try to get them to praise God, it will be askew. It will be out of tune. It will be discordant because these people are not praising God personally. If they don't praise God personally, they will not be able to praise God corporately in a connected kind of way. So for us, it's good for us each individually to get in the habit of praising God. If you're giving him honor, giving him blessing, showing that we pay attention to what he says, by glorifying him, doing the things that he wants us to do, and by acting in such a way that we show that his opinion is correct. If we do those kinds of things, then God begins to be glorified. And when you gather together, previous Psalm 149 said, praise God in the assembly of his saints, where we are individually praising God. Then when we get together, our voices become more connected, more in tune, not discordant, but harmonious. And God can hear and give and hear our praise, and it gives meaning to when we say these kind things about him. Praise God for his acts and attributes. Praise him for his mighty acts. Song of Deborah, Song of Moses, whenever exceptionally amazing things happened, God people gathered together and sang. Sometimes it's uncomfortable and embarrassing to sing. I can remember when I got saved, started going to church, my friends were very sensitive about singing, and maybe that's just a teenage boy thing, I don't know, but it was uncomfortable to sing. And I can remember when I was in my late teens and I started getting serious about my relationship with God, one of the first things I did was gulp, and I appreciate all you folks because they told us in school something that I thought was a lie, but here I appreciate you guys are doing it. They said, where you sit when you go to church is where your people will sit. So I started sitting in the front row of church. So thanks for that. I appreciate you so close that I can see you. I can see your faces. But when I began to go to church and I began to sing hymns, the first thing is people noticed that you're singing that hymn loudly. And they noticed that because I did not sing very well. But I was very loud. It was good for me to get used to singing praise. I even, believe it or not, I was in our church choir for a period of time. And as in Bible college, I took some private voice lessons because, well, not that I sing well, but I used to be much worse. So at least now I can stand up front, and I'm still loud. When Mike adjusts the music up there, he says, Pastor, you don't need a mic. You're plenty loud now. I think they would quiet me down if they could put a muffler on me instead. But singing God praise, singing hymns out, they're good for you. And one more thing is I used to work heavy machinery at a job I worked when I was in my 20s when I was in school. And it was really loud and you couldn't hear anything sitting next to it. And so I had not learned a lot of hymns in my Bible school. We sang a lot of good hymnody. And so I started memorizing. And so I would be singing and running some heavy equipment. But I'm down by myself, and what do I think? I don't think anybody can hear me. So I'd get down off of the thing, and I'd walk up, time to go home, and they'd say, we just wanted to tell you we hear you sing, and we like your songs. And so they were halfway teasing me. But when you give God praise, other people are going to notice. When you give God praise and thanks. I used to make fun of people a little bit who would always say, praise God, when something happened, but now I understand that that's not a bad thing. Sometimes somebody praise God. That worked out well, because you give God the praise and thanks, right? That's what you want to do. Get used to giving God praise and thanks. We can never let our worship be boring. I hate when people say the word bored. I'm bored. When someone says I'm bored, it generally means you haven't entertained me enough. Forgive me, but that's the case. I'm bored. Well, you haven't sung and danced. Don't you remember when Jesus was on the earth, they would talk about, hey, I don't understand what you're saying. Did you want us to this? Did you want us to that? Jesus would not perform little miraculous tricks for Herod near the end of his life before he gave himself for us, because Jesus was not here to entertain us. Jesus was here to teach us to be our Lord and Savior, to show that he loved us. In life, so the same thing is true, we need to get busy living our lives. If your life is boring, if you think it's boring, you either need to stop and reflect and realize you haven't given God enough praise and thanks for what's going on yet, or perhaps there's something God has for you that you have missed. And let me give an example of that. I'm a crazy person. I've been doing some extra things lately, and in our parsonage, people will see this, I post it on Facebook. In our parsonage, we have a bathroom vent fan in the bathroom the kids use. And you can tell when someone takes a shower and turns it on because, oh, it makes a noise. It makes a noise that will split the earth. And so I've taken it apart a time or two and lubricated, but it's time for a new fan. So A went down to Home Depot and figured out, oh, here's a fan. He says, how hard can this be to put in? And if you're in my Facebook posting, it took 5 out of the 6 of us. The only reason that Adam wasn't involved was Adam wasn't there right then. But it took us 2 hours and 5 of us, one battery-powered tool, many other toolboxes, and says to A, remove it, B, replace it, C, hardwire it, because it was hardwired in to the house. Barbara's downstairs turning breakers on and off, and up, oh, that's the one. We're in total darkness. That must be it. But just to do something little. Now, I could have just sat down and watched the magical, addictive thing for hours, whether it's there or here. But we said, we needed to do something. And guess what? Our life was not boring on Friday night. What a crazy thing. But you know, we needed to do it. There's a lot of things that God has for us to do. And it's easy to not listen. It's easy to not do them. And that can make your life boring. Friday night, Jim, you're not a bored person, are you? When you go downtown, that's not a boring time, is it? It's a stimulating time. So in the same way, teaching Sunday school is not boring, is it? No. Matter of fact, I can tell you from being a Sunday school teacher that nobody gets out of the Sunday school lesson with more than me. Nobody's going to get more out of Psalm 150 than me because I've worked on it. So if you want to do something, you'll get a lot out of it. So if you don't want your life to be boring, do something. God does many things. God does many things that we ignore, we don't pay attention to. And God does great and mighty acts. We need to do those also. And if we praise God, we should praise God with musical instruments and human voices. God has given me lots of interest and desire, but I think it's because I don't practice, or don't practice well. But I've tried music on a few things, and people take a lot of sympathy for me and just give me things I just have to huff on to try and make some music. But I just one of these days I'll get the hang of something, and I don't know what it'll be. But God tells us that it's good for us to praise him with musical instruments and human voices. If you take a look at verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Here, when you see trumpet, think the ram's horn, the shofar that the priest would blow. The harp, when you see these kind of things, think of the 10-string, and this is something that's Middle Eastern in this era, the era of David all the way up to the Greeks, a 10-string lyre, pluck, 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 pluck. Timberland dance remind us that our bodies should be involved. Is it okay to tap your toe when you listen to a hymn? Is that okay? Yes, and sometimes you're going to be more active. Vacation Bible School, we had the 2 Vacation Bible School dancers up here going along with some of the things we had the kids doing. No, it's okay. If it's in praise and honor to God, it's okay to involve your whole self. Cymbals were what? The loudest instrument. Sometimes the kids are talking about, well, Dad, I'm going to play flute, or I'm going to play trombone or guitar. And sometimes the children have had the misfortune of saying the word drum out of their mouth. And I've said, not a chance. The last thing I need in the house is, Dad, I'm going downstairs at 7 o'clock. Mariners are on, but I need to practice my drums for 2 hours. And so our neighbor across the fence there had a child that played drums for a while. And that encouraged me that if they were 50 feet away inside of a building and I'm inside my house and I still know exactly what they're doing, that drums were not my thing. Cymbals. The idea of cymbals. And notice they got out of their way. Praise him with loud cymbals. And though, by the way, that class are the quiet cymbals. And yet, how are they described? Loud. And then, what are the louder ones? Praise him with? Like if you took all the pots and pans and tossed them up into each other and they landed on the floor in the kitchen, this is a brief sense of the concept of clashing cymbals. But they had those things. They had those large pieces of, and they had brass back then. But this is something they could use, smash, to praise God with. Again, I'm not a musician, so I can't help you with that. Barbara's mom, Marnell, was in the marching band at Washington State University, and she'll pleasantly smile and say the word percussion. But I know what that means. But what's the point of this? The whole point of this is praising God. That's what all this is for. The method, the madness, the volume, whatever it is, the whole point is, however you do it, praise God. How can we praise God? We can praise God with our faith. What does God want from us? God wants us to believe him. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, what? Believes in him. God wants us to believe him. Abraham, what? Believed God. It was counted him for righteous. God wants us to believe him. We can praise God most with our faith. We praise God with our love. God wants us to love him. God wants us to love others. God wants us to love our neighbor. We praise God with confidence in Christ, that God is going to not mislead us, that the gospel is a true message, that Jesus Christ is going to guide us with his words and his spirit, with respect to him and his commands. God wants us to honor him with all the things that we do and praise God with an expectation of his kingdom. Jesus is coming back, and it's not going to be to collect a bill. Sometimes you get a letter, oh, what's this? Oh, it's another, it's got a window envelope. I know what I'm supposed to do in response to that. No, Jesus is coming back, and it's not going to be with the bill. Jesus is coming back to change us, to take us with him so that we can be with him forever. Everything that has breath. I love that picture. We used it a few weeks ago. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This last verse of some, we actually read this verse differently than it's written in the original. Up until now, every section of the 150 Psalms, if you recall how we presented it, has been antiphonal. It had one line and then another line. Because remember how they sang it? We looked at the presentation in Chronicles, how the Israeli choir would come in. They would divide into two sections, one on one side, one on the other, when they did these official songs. And one side would sing one line, and the other side would sing the other responsive line back and forth. That's why we've tried to do responsive readings, so that we can give an idea of what they may have done or said, or kind of how it would have sounded going back and forth. Verse 6 here, that whole section is one line. We read the praise the Lord as an antiphonal response just because, well, it balanced out what we were doing today. But in the 6th verse, there is only the one phrase. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because this is the concluding line of the psalm. There was no response. It was a statement. It was an end, and if you will, it was a cheer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We used to make fun of people. Sometimes you hear those southern preachers, hallelujah. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And God would rather you do that than do nothing. When we talk about mom at the beginning and at the end, here's a slide. You can find this. Just search on that question. How do you say, I love you, mom? And there's lots of things like this. I picked this one because it went up on the screen better. But how to say I love you, mom, in different languages. A German, ich liebe dich, Mutti. I love you, mom. Look at the Greek, mama. Spanish, mama. French, maman. Dutch, mama. You get the point? Everybody's giving thanks. Mom, I love you. Mom, I appreciate you. And when we sing God's praise, when we give him honor, this is what we are doing, is we're telling God, I love you, because that's what he wants to hear from us. For us, praise the Lord. This is the point. God wants us to praise him. God wants us to give him honor, respect, and if nothing else, praising involves humility. Because if you give praise and thanks to someone else, you're not giving it to yourself. And we humans tend to look at ourselves in extremes. We either give ourselves too much credit or we give ourselves too much criticism. The one way that we can know we're connected is to give God praise and thanks for what he has done, because that recognizes his place and that recognizes our appreciation and enjoyment. The second thing, develop a thankful heart. Because sometimes as time goes by, we lose a thankful heart because we can always think of something else and we compare. We humans are comparers. That is part of our nature. And remember, the New Testament tells us that those that compare themselves among themselves, what? Are not wise. So I can't evaluate myself by you. Our shadows will be a different size and shape. For some of you, that's a good thing. But we can't compare ourselves among ourselves, because we are not our standard. But so often we treat other humans as the standard. I need to get over my spoiled perspectives. God, I want to come out on top. God, I want more. God, I don't have to have a lot. I just want to have one more than either everybody else or one more than I did yesterday. When I should just be thankful that I'm here, because sometimes I won't have anything. And I need to just be thankful anyway. And then let God hear and others know that we are thankful. It's good to give praise. Good to give praise to God, and it's good to give thanks to other people. It's good to recognize and give respect where it's due. It's good to say, happy anniversary, happy birthday. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for working on that. It would be different if you were around. It's good to say those kinds of things. And it's good for us to give praise to God and to others. Because think about it, God tells us that we should love others as ourselves, and we should love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. So both of those things are connected, and I think both of those things are connected in the way we talk, because our talking will show how we think. So it's good to give God praise and thanks, and it's good to share some praise and thanks with other people too, because they're made in God's image as well. God saved them. God's put a Holy Spirit in them. God gave them a heart and a mind and a soul and a strength. So God has equipped other people for tremendous things. And that's the lesson of 1 Corinthians, is that people are different, but people are different because that was God's plan. Because people do different things in different ways. So for us, giving praise to God and remember to give praise to other people is a good way to start our day. God, help us to give you praise and thanks. Help us to recognize that all the things we have, and including the ability to enjoy them and to obtain them in our own hands, comes from you. Help us to not get cynical. Help us not to become self-absorbed. Help us not to be selfish. Help us to give you praise and thanks. Help us to recognize other people in our lives and give them honor and appreciation. Help us, we pray, to be appreciative and not so self-focused. But God, help us, however we do it, to give you praise and thanks for what you give us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.